Capital One believes that everyone deserves easier access to their money whenever they need it, in a simple and secure way. With advancements in machine learning technology, online shopping is now a breeze with Capital One. Autofill payment fields and get assigned a virtual card number for more secure online purchases. Plus, machine learning is also constantly fighting fraud and alerts you of all suspicious activity on your account. See how Capital One is using machine learning for the future of banking at CapitalOne.com. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Capital One believes that everyone deserves easier access to their money whenever they need it, in a simple and secure way. With advancements in machine learning technology, online shopping is now a breeze with Capital One. Autofill payment fields and get assigned a virtual card number for more secure online purchases. Plus, machine learning is also constantly fighting fraud and alerts you of all suspicious activity on your account. See how Capital One is using machine learning for the future of banking at CapitalOne.com. Capital One. What's in your wallet?
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. I'll be here with you for one more hour with super producer and host Dave Shepard. And we're here with you, regardless of whether you're listening on the free Odyssey app, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, Sirius XM Channel 158, or you're listening on a smart speaker. You're here. Shout outs to everybody just in every corner of North America. People at home, people at work. Happy people. Upset people. People disappointed. People surprised. And then even Raiders fans. They're used to this. Tonight, Monday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs come back to beat the Raiders. The final score, 30-29. Let me try to truncate this game. Let me give you a short recap, and then I'll let you hear some of the audio. The Raiders had a lead. The Raiders were up at one point early in the game, in the first half, 17-0. The Raiders even got a gift right before halftime. Derek Carr had the ball. Chris Jones landed on him, sacked him, took the ball from him, but these punk-ass referees said, can't do that. Can't fall on the quarterback. You got to kiss him. You got to hold him and tuck him in good night. And what was it was a garbage call. They said no, roughing the passer. And so instead of the Raiders having a ball snatched right from them, they were able to put another field goal up on the board. And so heading into halftime, the Raiders led 20-10. Before I tell you what happened in the second half of the game, you know what? Let's listen to Westwood One. Let's listen to Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner describe this play right before the second half. Listen.
Shotgun snap, dropping back, moves up, hit as he throws, down he goes, and he was brought down and sacked by Chris Jones. Flag thrown on the play, back at the 38, the sack came at the 42. It's all about quarterback safety. 107 to play in the first half. Carr has had a brilliant 13 throw, 10 completion, 130 through the air performance, and a 58-yard touchdown pass to begin things to Davante Adams.
Personal foul. Roughing the passer. Number 97. Defense. 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down.
I think he meant 95.
I believe
right?
he meant 95, too. This was just one of those. It was just a football play. But Chris Jones, as he was going for the sack, his entire body weight lands on Derek Carr. Really, absolutely nothing he can do right here as he's just going for the sack and,
right.
and getting the ball out.
I guess
technically he's supposed to grab him. It's just hard to know what a defensive guy's doing. He's just trying to get to the football and bring the quarterback down. and just happens to run through him.
Listen, we can all watch Tua Tagovailoa get smacked around and go, whoa, that's unnecessary. We can all look at that. But then when you actually have, like, normal football plays and now it's roughing, that's too much. And it's not like the NFL is going to release a statement and say, oh, yeah, it shouldn't have been. We all watched. What are you supposed to do? Tom Brady got hit by Grady Jarrett. Grady Jarrett had this man by the waist. What was he supposed to do? Let him go? He didn't hit him with the Mr. Perfect suplex. He put him down to the ground. Like, what type of NFL is this? They're really going to be playing flag football in a few years. But I digress. That play was garbage. But then we move into the third quarter. Earlier on in the game, Patrick Mahomes doing Mahomes things connects with Kelce. One touchdown. But then in the third quarter, Patrick Mahomes hits him. He hits him again. That's two touchdowns. And then he hit Travis Kelce again. Listen to this third touchdown. That gives Kansas City the lead.
Mahomes takes the snap at the 1 and 5. In trouble, moves out past Crosby. Fires it late. Kelce at the catch inside the 10. Stiff arms 1. Now 2. Now 3. Stumbles into the end zone. Touchdown! Kansas City! A hat trick for Travis Kelce. An 8-yard touchdown catch. His third TD of the night. And the Chiefs have the lead for the first time in the game.
Yeah, courtesy of the Chiefs radio network. So what was a 20-7 lead? Because of Travis Kelce's three touchdowns, Kansas City now leads 24-20. And then we move into the fourth quarter, and then you know what? Travis Kelce says, nah, guys, I got this. Let me earn my money tonight. Travis Kelce ends up with a fourth touchdown. Listen.
24-23 Chiefs. First down and goal to go at the 1. They're going to throw it. Near side it is. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce! 1, 2, 3, 4 touchdown receptions. This time on a play action fake. And the Chiefs may go for 2, leading 30-23.
Oh, 4 touchdowns. Yeah, like count from Sesame Street. Damn. Travis Kelce's numbers for tonight, how about this? 4 touchdowns, 7 receptions total, 25 yards receiving. Oh, yeah, he got busy in the red zone. What a freak of nature Travis Kelce is. This man is, he's not aging a damn bit. He just turned 33 years old. And there's no slowing him down. He's outlasting Gronkowski out here. And so now Kansas City has the lead. But that's not all she wrote. What did the Raiders do? The Raiders decided to answer back. Davante Adams had a bomb to start the game off. 50-yard touchdown reception. And with about 4.5 minutes left, Kansas City with the lead. Oh, man, the Raiders, they threw a bomb to Davante Adams, and they had a chance to tie. Listen to this touchdown reception by Adams at the end of the game.
Carr's in the gun, Bolden by his side, 3rd down 6, Chiefs 48, shotgun snap, has time, right tackle block, moves up those long, arching pass, down the middle, over the shoulder catch, goal line, touchdown! Adams caught it! Double teamed with defenders draped on both shoulders.
Oh, thank you, Kevin Harlan. Westwood won. And so what do? The score is now 29-30. You've blown this lead, you're the Raiders. All you have to do is kick the ball to tie the game. There are 4:27 left. You haven't won a, well, you have won a game, you being the Raiders. You've sucked and blown a lot of leads. You've lost all these close games. You're Josh McDaniels. You're getting your second chance as a head coach here. What do? Do you kick the ball and tie the game? No. This is what Josh McDaniels decided to do.
Shotgun snap to Carr. Handoff Jacobs puts his head down. They shove him across. Did they? No signal. They're saying no. The officials are saying no. He was short. And he is short. Josh Jacobs getting shoved by his lineman, and the Raiders fail on the two-point try.
Yeah. They went for it. All they had to do was tie the game, and they decided to go for two. Congratulations. Yeah, Josh Jacobs, 154 yards rushing on the ground, including a touchdown, but not that time, not for the two-point conversion. And so they left a point on the board that would have tied the game. And this basically lets me know Josh McDaniels did not trust his own team. He didn't trust his defense. Okay, fine. Mahomes might have scored a touchdown, which they didn't. But you didn't even trust your team to potentially get the ball back and score again. And so that ended up being the final. Kansas City wins 30-29. Despite the fact that the Raiders had this big lead, despite the fact that they were able to benefit from another one of these stupid roughing the passer calls, and then at the end of the game, Josh McDaniels wanted to be all gung-ho and go for two instead of settling to just tie the game. This was his explanation afterwards, why he went for two. Listen.
Felt like in that situation, you know, we hadn't really, they had kind of had a lot of momentum offensively, obviously, in the second half. We had a play that we felt really good about. We thought we would get a look that gave us a shot at it for sure. We had a chance. We had a fair fight at it. You know, they played it a little bit better than we did and gave ourselves an opportunity to take the lead there. And
oh, just say you didn't trust your offense to potentially score the ball again. Just say that. Even if the Chiefs went and scored another 3 points or 7 points or 6 points, just say you didn't trust your team to get the ball back with two minutes or less remaining. You didn't trust them to score. Knowing that they've sucked in these one-score games, knowing that they haven't been on the positive side of one, knowing that Derek Carr, he's going through this situation again, he says, so far this season, oh, yeah, it's been frustrating.
I've been around a lot of new regimes and all that kind of stuff, right? And I think the frustrating part is it takes time to get everyone on the same page. And once you get on the same page, you get the thing rolling and it's churning and it's, it looks great and it's awesome. And we're right there, but close doesn't count in this game.
Well, you know who else knows that close doesn't count? Davante Adams. Two huge bombs, two huge touchdown receptions, one early on in the game, one late. 58-yard bomb, 48-yard bomb. He's actually getting the ball again. You think he's missing Rodgers? You think Rodgers is missing him? After the game, Davante Adams, he was beyond frustrated. Slammed his helmet down at one point. And then, walking off of the field, a camera guy got in front of him. This game is in Kansas City. Doesn't matter where it is. A camera guy got in front of him. Davante Adams, big old Davante Adams, shoved him down to the ground in the tunnel. For the cameras to see, it's like, whoa. Just straight shoved him. After the game, Davante Adams, he talked about his frustrations and he apologized.
Before I answer anything else, I want to apologize to the guy. Some guy running off the field and he ran. He jumped in front of me. We're coming off the field and I bumped into him and kind of pushed him and then he ended up on the ground. So I want to say sorry to him for that because that was just frustration mixed with him running and literally just running in front of me. And that was, shouldn't have responded that way, but that's how I initially responded. So I want to apologize to him for that.
Oh, he doubled down. He doubled down on his apology by sharing an apology on Twitter, saying he hopes the guy sees it. And, you know, as many times as I've seen the image, it doesn't appear, maybe with part of the equipment, that this camera guy, equipment operator, doesn't look like he bumped into him. He walked in front of Davante, and Davante just shoved him. Not going to go so well. I foresee not a suspension, but a fine is going to come his way, and it's not like he won't be able to afford it. This sucks. Most Raiders thing ever. Blow the lead, can't take advantage of a BS call, something the NFL really needs to look into, and then Josh McDaniels being ridiculously aggressive at the end of the game, basically not trusting his offense. 855-212-4CBS. Chris is here from Detroit. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, JR, what's up?
How are you?
Hey, good. I never heard your show before. I really dig it.
Oh, thank you, man. What's up?
Yeah, so, I mean, when it comes to the Raiders, Chiefs, I mean, Travis Kelce is a monster. I think we all know that by now.
Yeah.
You know, and Mahomes, like, when you put those numbers out, like 8 yards, 5 yards, I mean, he is the running back. Like, he is the offense, and Mahomes is not stupid, and he's actually a magician, in my opinion. Like, I'm not really a Raiders fan at all. Like, I mean, if they're struggling, that's a them problem.
Okay.
But what I really wanted to say, I'm a registered official. Okay. I'm a referee. So okay. What I wanted to, and most refs don't really stand up and talk out. You know, we live a private lifestyle.
Okay. Well, hold on. Look, let's slow things down, Chris. Hold on, Chris. Chris, I got a lot of callers here, so I want to speed things up. You're a registered official for what? High school, college, or what?
High school football, basketball, baseball, volleyball.
Okay. So, what are your thoughts on this? The phantom call, quickly.
Like the ref's job. Like we're all, like the cameras don't lie, right? Like NFL game, but like our job is to be like perfect, like to be on point. And like I see things that the camera doesn't see. I see holding and I call it. Like this roughing the passer stuff. Like, I mean, yeah, it's getting a little, you know, we can't baby the boy, you know, at the end of the game.
Right. But
it's
okay. Chris, you nervous?
Yeah, because I've never been on air. But
oh, no. We're just talking to, I don't know, a few million people in 300 markets all across North America.
I know, you got a good show. But
thanks.
I'm saying, is, like, yes. As a ref, like, I'm not even supposed to be talking about it. Like,
Canadian.
But I'll throw a flag when I see it.
Okay.
Well,
here's the thing, Chris. I got one question for you here. We know refs aren't perfect. You understand the call tonight was garbage, right?
Right.
Okay, that's it. There's nothing else to say. Like, this is the thing, Chris, and thank you so much for calling. Chris, by the way, you call me up anytime. There's nothing to be nervous about. It's just a bunch of
show, bro.
Well, thank you. There's just a bunch of human beings listening to us. Ain't nobody better than anybody. Nothing to be nervous about. But anyway, look, the call sucked. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. And you might be an official, and God bless you. Thank you so much for all the work and time that you take out to coach the youth. Because there's a lot of dumbass parents out here, too, that treat you like trash. Because, of course, the parents are perfect with the play calls. This is the pros. I'm not expecting perfection in the NFL. I'm not expecting any human being to be perfect when it comes down to anything. But this is becoming a problem in the NFL. What is this, a market correction because of what we saw with Tua Tagovailoa? Probably. Come on, Grady Jarrett hits Tom Brady and, it was excessive roughing the passer. Nonsense. Tonight, what is Chris Jones supposed to do? He didn't pick the guy up and treat him like he was the ultimate warrior. He ain't suplexed the guy. It's still a physical game. What are we calling this garbage for? After the game, Chris Jones talked about the call. This is what he said.
There's no need for an explanation, okay? So when I'm going to go up to him and say, how should I tackle? How should I not roll on him? I'm trying my best. I'm 325 pounds, okay? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm running full speed trying to get the quarterback. I hit the ball. What do you want me to do? I brace my hands. So I think it's like taking the initiative to extend to look at roughing the passers now as a league, you know, like they did pass interference a couple years back, where we can view the pass interference. I think that's now the next level we're going to have to take as a league.
Well, he at least he's speaking up about it. The NFL can't come out and fine him for telling the truth now, can they? They would look ridiculous. Everybody saw what took place. And so from the Chiefs' perspective, at least the Chiefs walked away with a victory. And sure, they were down. And we know they have a dynamic offense. And they don't need Tyreek Hill to have a dynamic offense. If they would have lost this game, there would have been even more of an emphasis on this BS call. These are your two takeaways from this game. The Raiders stink. They're still in an adjustment period. They don't know how to hold the lead. They don't know how to win a game. Everybody's getting used to each other. They are ridiculously frustrated right now. That's on the Raiders' side. For the Kansas City Chiefs, oh, yeah, they're still rolling along. And that roughing the passer, that needs to be addressed. I expect to hear from Roger Goodell sooner than later. Somebody has to say something. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to continue to say quite a few things. I'm going to talk to you. You're going to say some things. And then on the other side of the break, you know, Chris Jones was very clear on his thoughts on roughing the passer, that the NFL needs to look into it. What about Andy Reid? What did he have to say about that call? And then, same thing. What about Patrick Mahomes? We know he's always focused on the offense. You'll hear from Andy Reid. You'll hear from Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to take more of your calls. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I love your show. Every time I come home from work, it is a great listen.
I just want to tell you, man, I love the show.
What's up, JR? Thanks for taking my call, man. I want to say first, though, I love your show, bro. I listen to you almost every night, man.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Monday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs, they come back to beat the Raiders, the final score 30-29. We saw aggressive play calling. We saw Josh McDaniels deciding to go for two at the end of the game instead of just tying the game. We saw Travis Kelce score four touchdowns. And then also, I mean, outside of the Raiders blowing a lead at the end of the second half, Chris Jones decided to sack Derek Carr. That's his job. He decided to take the ball from him. That's his job. And the referees decided to call it roughing the passer. And in turn, the Raiders were able to go out there and put an additional 3 points on the board. It didn't matter. Chris Jones spoke to the media after the game. We heard from him right before the break. If you missed it, you can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Chris Jones basically said, yes, it's an issue. 300 plus pounds. What do you want me to do? I'm a gigantic human being. Well, Andy Reid, he was asked about the play, and this is what Andy had to say.
I don't believe I've seen you as maybe annoyed on the sideline following the Chris Jones sack.
You guys are trying to get me fined. I'm not going to bite. I'm not going there. I mean, I can't. I got it off my chest, and he got it off his chest, so he made the call he made, and I got what I needed set.
Yeah, Well, Andy Reid makes about, what, $8 million a year? The fine would be about, what, I don't know, $10,000, $15,000, $25,000, something in that range. Andy Reid, he wants to hold his money so he could buy more Hawaiian shirts. I'm not mad at him. And so that call is ridiculous. We saw it take place with Grady Jarrett and Tom Brady. And in another call, we had a caller, I believe he called from Detroit. You know, he was saying that the most pivotal call of the game was later on when the Raiders were called for holding on a field goal attempt. And I'm starting to see that more and more. And I can understand anyone's frustration with it. It ain't something that I would focus on. Really not. It's not a common occurrence. Yes, correct. Roughing the passer is something that takes place far more often because the quarterback is on the field almost every single play outside of special teams. And so I'm not going to drive too much into that unless you want to tell me about some conspiracy theory. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Ramon is calling from Indianapolis. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing, JR? Thanks for taking my call. And you're completely correct. I don't know what they want. If the guy rolls over, it's no good. If the guy pushes him, he can stand up. You've got to get the person down. You know, the technique is to roll with them. And once they get down, then you're going to come back up naturally. I don't know what they want them to do. It's ridiculous. And what they don't understand is that there is a unintended consequence from playing tackle football. That you just can't get around, and that's just the bottom line. It's like driving a vehicle. You know, you put your seatbelt on, you stop at the stoplights, you try to, you know, hold, you know, if it's 70 miles an hour, you try not to go too much over than that, and then there's still some occasion there's an unintended consequence where somebody else doesn't obey the road. Does that mean we're going to stop all traffic on the road? No, it doesn't happen. So that's terrible. But these calls by these referees, I mean by these coaches, and not kicking the extra points, and San Diego yesterday doing what they did, got lucky. Just these dumb calls by guys who claim to be smart. The average score of an NFL game the last 40 years was 20-17. That's the average score. Points are hard to come by. Mm-hmm. You take the points. They keep listening that some analytics are good, but the feel is everything. It's just like a golfer. You got to have some feel. And there's no way in the world you're going to sit there and not take points when the average score is 20-17. It's hard to give points.
Well,
and they're just hurting their teams.
We see that and across the board. Thank you, Ramon, for calling from Indianapolis. It's not just the NFL. Analytics and stats and chances and evaluations, we see this more than ever. Do you go for it? Do you not go for it? Do you steal the base? Of course you don't steal the base. Do you go for two? I mean, Harbaugh has said this, it feels like, in every single Ravens loss. He's like, well, the numbers told us that we had a better – it's like, listen, man, just take the damn points and hope for a better day. They don't want to do it. Will is here from West Virginia. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, how you doing?
Great.
When Chip Kelly first came in,
uh-oh,
and his little splash in the NFL,
yes,
and – he started, I think his idea of going for two all the time, his analytical idea was that they're going to make enough to where in the end they're going to have more points than if somebody were just to kick extra point every time, you know, whatever. And I don't think that obviously was what Coach McDaniels was doing tonight, I believe. He thought, well, it's Kansas City's offense. I want to get 2 points and get out of here.
He didn't trust that his team would score again if they got the ball back. Yes.
That's my thoughts exactly. And the analytics quotations, I guess it kind of worked to my Buffalo Bills' favor a couple weeks ago when Harbaugh said the same thing. But my question is, where's the line here? Where's the line of is it tough football and the environment, and are we going to rely on analytics? Is that real?
It's trust, Will. It's trust. That's it. I don't care what numbers you present to somebody. This is still football. This is not baseball, you know, where you go, oh, man, well, I'm going to trust this guy, or do I want to leave him in the game or take him out? And you want to babysit every single play, every single pitch. This is football. There's dudes legitimately hitting each other out there on the field. It's literally touch and go. And so it's really this simple. You as a head coach, do you trust your team that they can put up points? Do you trust your team that they can get a stop? And it's very simple. Your team will know if you believe in them or not based on what you decide to call. I don't think Josh McDaniels, and I feel a big part of the frustration that we saw tonight at the end of the game was not only because they blew the game, but come on, the players feel it when you don't trust them. And so Derek Carr is not going to come out. Nobody's going to publicly, you know, throw slop all over the place. But it's obvious. They have issues. They have problems. They can't hold a lead. They can't score the ball at certain points and times. There were stretches, not in this game, but so far in the season, Devontae Adams didn't see the ball. Today he sees the ball, and there's just issues all over the place. So where does it stop? I think it's just a matter of trust, Will. And the good teams, they know when to go. And the bad ones, they're always searching for a few more points. I appreciate you calling from West Virginia. A team that has no problem with points, obviously, the Chiefs. They came back and they won. I'm going to take more of your calls. You'll hear from Patrick Mahomes on the other side of the break, in addition to Mr. Kelce and his four touchdowns. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, you make my drive so much more enjoyable coming home from work late at night every day.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Wow. We're going to have plenty of time and opportunity throughout the course of the season to obviously talk about the Raiders and the Chiefs. The Chiefs, their next matchup after beating the Raiders, or excuse me, as beating them tonight, coming back to beat them 30-29. Next up for Kansas City, the Buffalo Bills. That'll be a fun matchup. I don't know if anything will ever top the meeting that we got in the playoffs, but it should be a fun one. Kansas City, obviously, a Super Bowl contender. Then you have Las Vegas. They're just trying to figure out what life looks like under their new head coach. They're aggressive. New head coach. They're heading into a bye week. They won't be back in action until the 23rd against the Texans. They have some time to get things together and evaluate what has taken place. And, you know, what took place tonight? Outside of the roughing the passer, where it's like, well, who got roughed up? Not Derek Carr. Outside of the comeback, even some emphasis on a penalty on a field goal, Kelce scored four touchdowns. He did it on seven receptions. And who needs Tyreek Hill? Patrick Mahomes, he loves his tight end. Take a listen.
I knew when he caught the fourth one that it was the fourth one. I didn't realize he had like seven catches, four touchdowns. But they did. They had a good game plan of kind of that old New England, hit him off the line of scrimmage, double cover him and stuff like that. I thought the other guys responded and made some big plays happen, and that's what we needed to see out of our offense.
Travis Kelce playing at home, knowing that the folks in Arrowhead are going to be loud, knowing that they're going to make some noise. He was thrilled to be playing at home.
Raiders Chiefs, baby. It's going to bring it out of you, man. Especially, you know, we started off a little slow, had some calls not go our way, and got not only us fired up, but that entire stadium fired up. And Arrowhead had our back, so we just rallied together and really fought through that one. Man, it was a fun game to see everybody rally together like that, being down, what was it, 17, I think. Nobody cracked, nobody, you know, you didn't see doubt in anybody's eyes. All it did was just, you know, almost build the beast, you know, made us kind of rally together, circle the wagons in a way, and just and fight for each other. And when you see that out of us, man, it's we know we can play some good football when we have that kind of mentality.
Championship caliber squad. Let's get in more of your calls before I have to roll out. Amy Lawrence will come through at the top of the hour. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Ed. He's calling from Denver, Colorado. Uh-oh. There's some, maybe, uh-oh. Ed, did Ed just bust his ass? What happened to him?
I don't know. Maybe Ed's training to be a ref. He saw the lousiness and the mediocrity we had tonight.
Yeah, he bust his ass. Let's go to Fred. He's calling from Houston. Go ahead, Fred.
Hello, JR. It's nice talking to you, sir.
Thank
please
you.
Say go something, please say something so I can go to sleep. It devastated me when the Raiders lost. What went wrong? I know it wasn't the offense of the Raiders. Was it the coach's call? Was it the booth's call?
And
defense lost them. Lost everything. I mean, like they got the.
I'll answer you, Fred. Hold
please.
On. Sorry, I heard an echo, Fred, so I had to hang up. What went wrong? Yes. Yeah, the defense went wrong. The penalties went wrong. The aggressive play calling at the end of the game went wrong. Yeah, there were many of issues. We heard them. Nicholas is calling from Michigan. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, how you doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
I don't know. I watched the game. I was kind of disappointed, you know? Like, it seems like football lately has just been pretty disappointing. Look at Thursday night. But to get over that, I mean, you got Vegas. They're 14-0 rolling over Kansas City, kind of surprising. And you get a 4th-and-1, and you don't even try to get them to jump off sides. And then you call a timeout, and then you kick it. Now, you show faith in the kicker. That was great. What was that, 36 in a row he made at that point? Cool. Wish Detroit Lions had a kicker like that. But coming down to the end of the game, this is where I was really disappointed. So Kansas City scores. All you got to do is kick an extra point, and you're up by 8. Makes it a 2-score game, or they got to go for 2. But they go for 2 and miss it. And then Vegas gets the ball, moves it down the field.
Well,
they got to do
is kick it, and they decided not to. Yeah, we went through the whole game. Let me ask you this. You said you didn't enjoy the game? You're running me through every dramatic point of it.
I mean, I enjoyed the game a little bit, but I mean,
okay.
I'm kind of looking at it as Raiders, you're 1-3. You got a
4.
Chance, you know, like, well, Kansas kind of blew it, you know, because they could have just kicked the extra point. They went up 8 points. That would have made it hard for you, because now if you drive the field, you got to go for 2.
Nick, we went through the whole game. What's your final ultimate point?
I just want to know, do you feel like that's an Andy Reid call where he would go for 2 to try to put him up by – to put him up? Like, I just never – I mean, I always thought, you know, with the with Kansas City, they were more of a smart football team where they would just kick the point, boom, whatever, we're up by 8, let's just finish this out, let's go on to the next game. But when they went for 2, I guess I was more surprised. I was like, what are they doing? You know, and then they missed it, and now they're only up by 7. And then Vegas, you know, they run it down. And they have a chance to just kick the extra point and tie the game, but they go for 2 and miss it and lose the game. It's like, do you think they should have just – I guess my question is, do you think Andy Reid was just trying to be a really aggressive, or do you think Vegas also just blew it by not just kicking the extra point and tying the game?
Well, thank you, Nick. It took us a while to get there. Yes, it's okay. I was surprised that they
– So.
No, it's okay. I was surprised that he went for it. Yes, and when I say he, I'm referring to Andy Reid. On the other hand, yes, Vegas absolutely did blow it. They did choke. I mean, when you've had the issues that they've had over the past several weeks, you play it safe. You give yourself a chance to potentially get the ball back. The game could have gone into overtime if they just had, damn it, 30-30-30. I mean, what are we doing here? So the game ends on 30-29, and everybody just has to be miserable out in Vegas. This is par for the course. This is what they used to. Another
I guess
day.
That's where my disappointment came from is, you know, I enjoy watching football, and I was kind of like, hey, this could be an overtime game, Monday night football, you know?
Sure.
And
well,
to see both teams do that, I was really surprised. Like, no team is usually like, let's go for 2.
All right. Well, here's the thing, Nick, and thank you for calling from Michigan. Me personally, I don't care. Like, the fact that you can walk me through every instance and every call. Look, this is entertainment. Like, give me the drama. Phantom call and holding and silly calls and big touch. This game had everything. I'll sign up for it. Hand it over to me. Tom's calling from Chicago. Go ahead, Tom.
I've been listening to everything you say. I can't disagree with anything. I want to run this by you and Shep just to get your ideas. Sorry for my raspy voice. Just found out I got COVID.
Feel better. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had to listen to you. Obviously, it's. What do you think the chances are that another tablet comes down from Raider Nation as early as this week or next month with one name on there, and the name happens to be Sean Payton?
Oh, no.
I'm talking about getting rid of Josh McDaniels and Sean Payton, who's looking for the perfect gig, finds it in Sin City. I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
Well, thank you, Tom.
I'll see you guys.
Thank you, Tom, for calling from Chicago. Yeah, not going to happen. I know Matt Rhule got the boot as a head coach. I mean, we could think about some other coaches that might also be on a hot seat. You know, we can look at Dan Campbell with the Lions. If he continues like this, he will be out the door. We can look at Ron Rivera. He might be out the door. Just coaching a disaster or in a disaster organization. One of our callers mentioned Josh McDaniels already getting the boot. They're not going to fire this man early on in the season. Year after year after year, the Raiders are already a joke. They're a clown show. They want to have some type of stability. They're not giving him the boot. And Sean Payton, come on. I give him a little bit more credit. I won't call him, you know, an angel here. But I think he's classy enough not to just be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to take the job. They're not even going to allow him to lobby for it. Let the Raiders have some type of stability. Let the garbage take place on the football field. And let's see how much money Devontae Adams gets fined for pushing that equipment guy. The staff guy, the TV production guy at the end of the game. Terrible stuff. Hey, Shep, thank you again for an amazing night, bro.
But thank you, JR.
Nah, no doubt about it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be an interesting week. The JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. It's a wrap, folks. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 Pacific. You want to holler at me? Simple. At JR Sport Brief everywhere. I'll catch you tomorrow, but don't move here on CBS Sports Radio because Amy Lawrence, she is coming up next. You don't want to miss it.
Capital One believes that everyone deserves easier access to their money whenever they need it in a simple and secure way. With advancements in machine learning technology, online shopping is now a breeze with Capital One. Autofill payment fields and get assigned a virtual card number for more secure online purchases. Plus, machine learning is also constantly fighting fraud and alerts you of all suspicious activity on your account. See how Capital One is using machine learning for the future of banking at CapitalOne.com. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Capital One believes that everyone deserves easier access to their money whenever they need it in a simple and secure way. With advancements in machine learning technology, online shopping is now a breeze with Capital One. Autofill payment fields and get assigned a virtual card number for more secure online purchases. Plus, machine learning is also constantly fighting fraud and alerts you of all suspicious activity on your account. See how Capital One is using machine learning for the future of banking at CapitalOne.com. Capital One. What's in your wallet?